let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. This Week in America. Thank you for joining us on the program. To most people, it appears that Derrick James is a typical college freshman. He's on a football scholarship at one of the most prestigious universities in the country, but other than that, well, he appears quite ordinary. But there's an extraordinary secret that Jack has been harboring. He is a warlock. That's the premise for the critically acclaimed contemporary fiction book, The Black Diamond and the Witch's Curse, by Terrence Alexander. Terrence was heavily involved in multiple sports throughout his childhood before settling on track and field, which he ran for 10 years, a graduate of the University of Delaware with a BA in psychology, and author of The Black Diamond and The Witch's Curse. Terrence Alexander with us on This Week in America. Terrence, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us today.
Thank you for having me, Rick. I'm glad to be here.
Looking forward to this and talking about the book. And this is an amazing story. I mentioned the warlock, and we'll get into that here in a couple seconds. But where did this idea come from? What was the inspiration? Where did this all begin?
Well, it really begins with the way that I grew up. My father and my grandmother, they were very big inspirations for this book. My dad is a very big fan of comics. He had a comic collection. And my grandmother, she's very much into fantasy genre, into science fiction, and things of that nature. And they passed on those dual loves onto me. And so that influenced my interest in those two genres. And so when I decided to write a book, I knew that was the type of story that I wanted to write. I enjoy fantasy. I enjoy creating fictional worlds. So when I wrote the book, I came up with characters in that type of theme, and that really inspired me to kind of continue creating the book.
Talk about the challenges of taking a story that you've got working in your mind and turning that into a plot that people will find entertaining as they're reading. How difficult is that to take that initial story that's sort of banging around in your mind? You're thinking, this would make a great story, but now you got to turn it into a plot and a real story that people will be interested in.
You know, it was a lot more difficult than it looks when you're in someone else's story.
Exactly, exactly.
If you're doing it yourself and you're having to start from scratch and create something, it's very, very, very difficult. It's actually, I found, quite easier to kind of do a nonfiction because the facts are right there. You just have to use the facts that are already there in real life to tell a story. But when you have to create something, it's very, very difficult to, you know, come up with compelling characters, and you have a nugget of an idea, but you got to expound on it and make sure that everything flows, and that in addition to all that, it's interesting, and you kind of find yourself kind of critiquing every single thing that you do, like, you know, does this work here? Does this character, does this character do this? How do I? And then we have a genre like a fantasy genre where you have things like magic and monsters and stuff. You kind of have to come up with the mythology of the story before you can even apply that mythology to the characters and things that you create. So you kind of got to start from scratch with the mechanics of the universe. And then from there you go on to applying those mechanics to the characters and then using that to create the story. It's a very in-depth process that was very, very challenging.
Yeah, because you basically are creating your own world. With us on the program is Terrence Alexander, author of the book The Black Diamond and The Witch's Curse. You can get information by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and link on directly to information on the book. The book's available at bookventure.com/bookstore. You'll find it, of course, at Amazon and Barnes & Noble. It's really a fascinating read, and I mentioned that Derrick James is a freshman. He's off to college at Word University, where he's going to be playing football there. Tell me a little bit about the character and the family, because he comes from what I describe as maybe sort of an unusual family?
Yes. Well, the main character, Derrick James, in this book is an amalgamation of people in my life. I don't base any of the characters directly on someone, but they're more amalgamations of different traits of people in my life. And for this particular character, the family that he comes from is, like you say, very unusual. But who doesn't come from an unusual family, right?
Yeah, I guess we all would fall into that category.
You know, maybe not quite his type of unusual, but, you know, an unusual family nonetheless. And he's a character who I really enjoyed writing about because his inner conflict really kind of drives the story. And whenever you have a character who their conflict drives the story, you kind of almost have to really like that character, have to really get into what makes him tick. And that was a beautiful challenge that I had of how do I use this character's conflict to kind of influence everyone else's character and kind of create the conflict to create the compelling story that a reader would really like. And I use his background, his, like you say, his unusual familial background, and also his just his setting as a normal, typical college freshman. Like, there are many people who are freshmen in college or freshmen, whatever thing that they do, and we can all relate to that newness, the experiencing different things while also having previous experiences influence that new experience. So I think that type of character is kind of like the audience surrogate into not just college, but also the audience surrogate into that magical world.
You know, what's interesting is, besides I mentioned the warlock, and he comes across some others, and we'll touch on them in a second, but you're right. You see, he's being dropped off at college, and he's in, like, the top floor of the dorm and going through all the anxiety of starting off college. He's a star athlete who has to work his way up, a freshman on the football team. First time he returns a punt, it's for a touchdown. So you bring out the personal part, the college part, as well as the student athlete, and then we get involved with all the warlock, the mystical activities as well.
Correct. That's actually what I really wanted to do. I thought that would be a good decision to start off with something that's quote-unquote normal.
Yes.
Because that is the way that the reader can kind of ease their way into the story. If you start off with all of the magic stuff, it can kind of get a bit overwhelming, you know? But if you start off with something that people are familiar with, they latch onto the character and just doing things that they would know, like you say, about, you know, the dorm and moving in and freshman orientation and classes and the anxieties with tests and with football, those are all things that make him very personable, which is very, very important, again, in stories like this where you're going to eventually get into more complicated things like magic and monsters. And I think it's very important to just start off with something that you can make the character feel real and ground the character. And then from there, you can expand on and slowly introduce the reader and the audience to a larger, more out there type of world. If they have that foundation of this is a real character who experiences real things in a college that I could see myself going to and experiencing, it makes it easier for the reader to really kind of engross themselves in the large or mystical concept.
Well, it's interesting, some of the background that you have. You said this was sort of a compilation of people that you knew, the character of Derek, but I mentioned the background in Delaware. The university is, in Delaware, they start off by playing a football game against the University of Delaware. We've got the state capitol involved, a couple of state senators. So they're really the setting. These are areas that you're obviously quite familiar with.
Well, yes, I'm very, very familiar. Obviously, I took some liberties with some of the names and things. And, you know, like I said, a lot of it's a compilation of different areas, different settings. But in the general setting, it was very important for me to make a setting about Delaware. And people who live in Delaware, I think, would get a really good kick out of reading, oh, I know this place. I just was there last week about, you know, I was just there last week. And it's in this book that, you know, other people outside the state are going to read, and then they may get interested, and, you know, they may, you know, look up things about Delaware. So it could really help. And, you know, it's a setting, Delaware, that's, you know, let's be honest, not a lot of, you know, different things have been written about in terms of pop culture and
yes.
stuff. So I thought it would be a unique setting for readers, and also for the ones who are Delaware natives or Delaware area natives, they get a kick out of it. And, like I said, it makes it easier to write when it's about things that, you know, that's always my advice to readers is, you know, sometimes it's easier to incorporate things that you know because, again, it lends a realness and a gravitas to the story that any reader, no matter if they're from Delaware or not, will really latch on to.
One of the first people that he comes in contact with on campus is Mathis, who's the first warlock he knew outside of his family. Talk a little bit about that relationship, and then he meets two others that are also warlocks. So for the first time, he's meeting people like him outside of the family.
Yes, and that's also something that I was trying to debate. How should I incorporate this? Because, you know, it's kind of like an analogy for, again, in real life, sometimes you come across someone who shares a similar interest or a similar background that you thought that was kind of unique to you, but, you know, it's not. You come across, you know, someone who has shares similar interests or a similar thing about their past or about their families or themselves that you actually find you have something in common. So, you know, that's kind of what he does when he meets Matthias. And like you say, he's really excited, you know, when he meets Matthias and, you know, he finds out, you know, that he's a warlock as well. And that really excites him because, like you say, it's something he's never experienced before. You know, he knows about magic, but he's never experienced magic from another person outside the family, like you say. So that was his, trying to create his reaction to how would that work? How would you respond if you found someone was special in a way that you're also special? How would you respond? So I thought his excitement about that kind of fit very well with the character that I was creating. And also when he meets two other warlocks, it just compounds it. Wow, I mean, there's the three other warlocks I've now met. This is like
Yes. Insane.
Like, what are the odds? You know.
Well, the book we're talking about is The Black Diamond and The Witch's Curse by Terrence Alexander, our guest on the program. Information at our website, thisweekinamerica.us. The book's available at bookventure.com/bookstore. Just go to bookventure.com and look for the bookstore. You'll find it at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, direct link once again at our website. It's interesting because the four of them become friends and then they are threatened. They are being attacked by terrifying monsters. We can't give away too much here, but talk a little bit because there's conflict there. The four have to try to figure out what they're going to do. Sometimes they're in agreement. Sometimes they're in conflict with each other.
Well, right. Just because, you know, you meet someone and become friends obviously doesn't mean that you agree on everything, especially when you get into a stressful situation like when you're being attacked by, you know, terrifying monsters. Not everyone's
exactly
agree on how to proceed. You know, everyone's going to have different personalities, different perspectives on what should proceed. Something, maybe we should run away. Something, maybe we should, you know, defend ourselves. Go to the cows. Everyone has different ideas on what should be the proper course of action. Especially, I have experience with this. Especially when you are a group is put into a very, very stressful situation. It can really, really, really create conflict within the group, reveal conflict that's in the group, and that tension is just right to be mined for conflict for a reader and engross themselves. And it's that tension that's caused by the stresses of these monster attacks that really, really grips the reader and really propels the book forward.
How difficult is it doing research for creative nonfiction, for fantasy? A lot of it is make-believe, so I'm sure there's some liberty you can take there. Other parts of it, at least it's in common culture with warlocks, that type of thing. We think we know something about it. How important is research so when people are reading the book, they get absorbed in the story and not going, but that doesn't make any sense?
Right. Research is actually quite important, and the reason why it's quite important is because you want to, again, going back to grounding this mystical, fantastical story in some type of reality. And like you say, there are creative liberties that you obviously are allowed to take when it's things like magic and it's creative nonfiction and things of that nature that actually I found that readers like the fantastical things that doesn't have to make, you know, 100% sense all the time, because you can get bogged down with that. But there has to be an underlying realness to it that allows it to remain grounded as it gets into the more fantastical parts. So when you're doing your research, that allows you to kind of put that surface level grounding and realism into this story, so it makes it a bit more believable. And if it's more believable for the reader, then they become more attached to the story, attached to the conflict, and it just makes it for a more rewarding reading experience.
I mentioned in the beginning the degree you have in psychology, and it's always interesting as you develop a character, the psychology involved in doing the psychology of a character. Talk a little bit about that and how you draw that up and tie all of that together.
Well, one of the main things about, you know, psychology is obviously how does the mind work? How does the mind think? How does it respond to different situations?
Right.
How do different personality types respond to different situations? So the way that it works in the context of this book is that when you create a character, as you're creating the character, it helps to have, like I say, a firm grasp on what makes the character tick. What are their personality traits? What do they like? What do they dislike? So when you do that, and then you put this character with this different character, I can obviously use, you know, lessons that I've learned, obviously, in psychology. I'm a psychology, you know, degree. Things that you learn, even in classes, how do group dynamics work? How do the human brain respond to stressors, that type of thing. You can apply psychological theory to these fictional characters. And again, that obviously, as with other things I was previously discussing, grounds the characters in a realness that, again, they're responding the way that a normal person would respond in this situation or to this person or on this level. That psychological underpinning amongst the characters, again, just also adds a realness to the characters, also adds a realness to the setting, adds a realness to the story.
Yeah, there's
there's
that believability factor there as you're reading. The book is The Black Diamond and The Witch's Curse. The author is Terrence Alexander. Available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, bookventure.com. Link on directly at our website, thisweekinamerica.us. A couple minutes left in the program. I know you've got an interesting process as you write. Talk a little bit about that and how you went about actually taking this idea, putting it down in eventually having it in book form.
Yes, well, I've had a nugget of an idea for years about a story, but like I say, it was just a nugget, just strands here or there. I had no intention of it becoming anything. But there was one day post-graduation from University of Delaware where I was kind of cruising on Facebook, you know, typical young person, cruising on Facebook, and I came across an old Spanish teacher of mine. Her name is Miss Pierce, where she got a book published. And that kind of just encouraged me to, why don't I get a book published? Because, why don't I write a story, I should say. Because I didn't consider myself much of a creative writer much at all in school. Like, I did better with, like, research papers and term papers, but the creative writing, like, poems and fiction stories, and I did good enough to pass. But I didn't consider that my strength. So I thought that by writing that type of story, that would challenge me in a way that other things wouldn't. I wanted the challenge. So, you know, I kind of started off with that. Once I got kind of encouraged by her to write a story, I then took those nuggets of idea that's been bouncing along in my head for years and just kind of said, okay, let's flesh it out. Let's put a name to a character. Let's kind of come up with the way the magic would work, and let me write all this down. Let me, like, say, like I said, do some research. How does, you know, this type of magic work? Not magic, but in a general sense, how would
right.
the mechanics of a magic really work? Kind of like in real life, just again, to ground in some type of reality. How would you really apply that? So I kind of went through that process. This is all before I wrote down, I started writing a single page. You know, so I go through the settings. I have to decide, you know, what setting do I want? How did I want the characters to come across? I was very much, I wanted the characters to feel contemporary and very real. And I also wanted the characters to be very diverse. Obviously, that's a big thing, kind of in Hollywood right now, is diversity and representation, in particular with this type of genre, the fantasy genre. So I wanted that to be a very big, important part of this book. And that all kind of went to the decision-making of how I came up with the characters and the setting and how the characters, you know, what their interests are, the way that they speak, the way that they hang, where they tend to hang out, like barbershop and that kind of thing. So I went through all of that over the course of a couple of months, fleshing all of that out. That's why I then went on to I actually did a pre-write where I actually mapped out the entire book, chapter by chapter, of what I wanted to do before then I went on to then typing everything up. But then as you're typing, you know, you get bursts of inspiration. They find, oh, that doesn't really work the way I'm writing this. And you know, so you kind of have to be amenable on the fly as you kind of go throughout the book, but having a general outline of where I want the story to go and made it a bit easier to type it up, but obviously things change as you go. And then once you get to the end of the book and you've gone through all of that, you got to edit everything.
Then the process, you have to go back and do that, and you did such a wonderful job with the story, with the characters, with tying it all together. At the end, we see Derek as he's leaving the dorm, looks around as all college kids do as they're leaving at the end of the term, looks around the dorm, and he says, well, 1 year down, 3 more to go. Will we see a follow-up?
Well, here's hoping, yes.
Good.
Of writing the follow-up as we speak. So there definitely will be a follow-up coming, and I can just tease, I think it is very, very, very good. You should be on the lookout for it. I'm going to be releasing information on the Facebook page for the book, The Black Diamond, about any details about the follow-up, but it is in the process of being written now. And I do know that I left the book off on a very interesting spot, and I can just tell all the faithful readers that it is coming, and it is awesome.
Well, you will enjoy The Black Diamond and The Witch's Curse by Terrence Alexander now. The follow-up will be out soon. You can check all the information, and we'll keep you up to date on all of that. Again, Terrence Alexander, our guest, is the book. The book is The Black Diamond and The Witch's Curse, available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Book Venture, link on directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Terrence, a pleasure having you on the program. Excellent job with the book. Great to have you with us today.
Thank you, Rick, for having me.
Once again, the book is The Black Diamond and The Witch's Curse. Our guest is Terrence Alexander. Information at our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we return after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.